Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is another week and another episode of the Buddha Rips Podcast. This is a little bit different than normal. Eric has been out of town. He was in Denmark, so we didn't have time to film our normal podcast content. But we have a special episode for you today. I teamed up with our homie Jay Cooper. You might know him from Reality Checks on YouTube and on Facebook. And we have a special guest on this podcast. It goes by the name of Janelle Stevens. You'll find out all about her in the podcast. So stay tuned. We had a nice Zoom chat, and we can't wait to show you this episode.
Welcome, 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 everyone. It is a coming out of retirement party for me. It's not very often that I do interviews and podcasts these days, but when a story inspires you, when someone wants to tell it, I feel obligated to share it. So it's a singular pleasure for me, the Hound, to welcome to the show, Janelle Stevens. So what a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And I'm joined, as always, by my good friend and compadre, Kyle the Budo Brothers.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's an honor that you came out of retirement.
That was, I may be giving that slightly more gravitas than it actually deserves. But anyway, we'll carry on. So, I mean, you are just riding the crest of a wave right now. You must be on cloud nine, you know, for the, I mean, the Woman King. Let's just go right to where we're at right now. The Woman King is smashing box office. It's getting critical accolades all over the place. I mean, that just must warm you to the very core of your soul.
Oh, it really does. It really does to be a part of productions like this and to be a part of something that we tell the world that was, you know, has factual historical truth to it. Working with the cast and crew was amazing. I mean, you're right. I'm riding a wave right now, and I'm on cloud 11,000.
Well, I actually saw it last week, and I went in, and I was like, "This is my mom's favorite movie now." So she saw it, she's like, "Ah, yeah, let's go!" So it was amazing. A fantastic job. The fight scenes were incredible. I know you got a few very cool people from like different parts of the world in there, and like just. Oh, yeah. The choreography was fantastic, so really nice job. Can you tell us a little bit about the set and the experience of it all?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was definitely a huge collaborative effort. I mean, our stunt coordinator and our fight coordinator, Danny Hernandez and Johnny Gao, they, you know, led the helm on this. And then we had the South African crew also, led by Grant Powell, their stunt coordinator down there. They trained a lot of the South African performers while we prepped in LA. Danny let me shine a little bit with my martial arts background, which was very appreciative about, brought me on as not only Viola's double, but, you know, was like a fight choreographer. So I basically helped with training the actresses and coming up with, you know, small fight vignettes that we can use to train them. So that they didn't get too married with the choreography, because it always changes on the day. And, you know, Johnny Gao created some beautiful pieces that you'll never see, or probably maybe in some other movies he's in, but he laid out some great scenes. And even for as much as they got cut, what you saw was still very amazing. So going down there actually to South Africa after we prepped, it was mind-blowing to learn that pretty much outside of the core team, none of the stunt performers had ever done stunts on camera before. They're not stunt performers. They came from dance backgrounds and different backgrounds, and seeing them move and perform, because at that point when I got there, they had been training for months, and it was like, wow, they very talented. They're very determined to be at the level they've gotten to and even progress throughout the movie. So getting there and when they saw me, especially when they first saw me step on the mat and start teaching stuff, they were like, wait, what? This Black female is leading this class there? She's the one teaching this? So that was very heartwarming, and I felt a very big level of respect and responsibility, because they had been just taught by, it's always men, right? There's not enough of us in the martial arts world to And at our level, and at the level that I have gotten to. So I just want to encourage and push more and get more females to be in these positions.
And that's such a laudable goal as well. One of the things that always strikes me when I watch choreography in films is you're very often giving the essence of a fight. You don't necessarily want to look at, you know, would that work in the street? Would that work in a cage? Would that work in the ring? Because, of course, that's not what the choreography piece is about. But you have to leave enough cocoa in to make the cake taste of chocolate. How do you reconcile that kind of martial authenticity with the requirements of a cinematic experience?
Absolutely. It's a great question because they always tell you, and it's very true, that martial arts for camera and real martial arts are two completely different things. Fight choreography, I mean, a lot of martial artists don't transfer well into stunts because they're so ingrained into the real art. I always tell people when I train, it might be take a little longer because sometimes it's like, well, this you can do in real life, but we don't want this to happen in camera. And I even still want to teach them the real way. Okay, now we're going to unlearn that and do it this way, just because I just feel this sense of responsibility to give them the real aspect of it. Like, this is what would really happen here. So definitely explaining that in the training is something that I do just inherently. And then, you know, just going through the choreo and making sure that it tells the story as well. That's a big part of it when you get the script and not only putting the fight beats together, but having it tell the story of what's happening in the scene. So it hurts my heart a little bit to do things that are not real. But, you know, sometimes I got to get to that pinnacle of fight coordinator where I was like, no. This is not going to happen. This is not real. This won't work. But that sometimes is hard because everybody wants to see the cool. They want to see the flashy, you know. So
nobody wants to go to a boring movie where it's just a jabbing across of the.
Right.
Yeah, you spit in someone's eye, groin shot, off you go, you know.
Exactly. It's like a real knife fight. You get into a position, you see a guy in the distance, you're like, I'm out.
And yeah.
That would be, can you imagine that in a fight scene in a film? That would be epic. Someone pulls a knife and then the hero's giving it legs. How cool would that be?
So I did a little bit of listening to some past podcasts, and you said that you're quite an athlete, started doing baseball, basketball, and now you've done like martial arts. You're doing, you've done Jeet Kune Do, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you're in New York. So I believe you're training with Anderson. Yes. Martial Arts Academy. Yeah. That's so
New
York. Yeah. Well, I've definitely, like, we're all over the martial arts space. So Anderson Martial Arts, if we go to New York, is where we definitely want to go maybe do some filming. Can you tell us a little bit about your JKD experience, your JITS experience, and Muay Thai, right? Correct?
Absolutely. Yep. Those are my top three. Man, I love it. Anderson's is my heart. That was my safe haven, my heart. Like Sifu Dan Anderson, his wife Dasha, they are the owners of the school. They're two of my very, very dear best friends. Love training with them. I was his disciple when I was, you know, at Anderson's. I miss it dearly. Like, fortunately, unfortunately, all this work, you know, I haven't been able to get down there. But when I started, I came and actually started doing jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. And I went against the grain when they say that, you know, you're really not supposed to do no gi until you're a blue belt. So I pretty much started with no gi and Muay Thai for a few months before I got into JKD. And then, yeah, I got into JKD, worked my way up. You know, I had my midway tests with the instructors when they have to kick your butt. You know, we don't have that anymore. But that was a really good intro into the next level. I remember one of your past podcasts when you said, you know, learning under pressure. It's really important.
Categorically, yeah.
You have to get punched in the face. You know, you really do. If you want to do martial arts, you have to get punched in the face. You have to get kicked. You have to know what that feels like. And in my journey, you know, once I got to a certain level in JKD and I got into a certain level of jiu-jitsu, and then I started doing, you know, and all of it together with Muay Thai. I mean, that's what JKD Way is. And at one point, I was like, you know, I kind of wanted to test myself outside of the school, outside of the people that love me that are punching me in the face. Like, I want to see how I am with somebody who really wants to take my head off. So I was like, how can I do this? It's like outside of going and fight, starting a fight in the street, you know? So I was like, let's compete in Muay Thai. So when I,
In New York is probably a pretty easy task to accomplish.
oh yeah, absolutely. I was
Just
like, let's not do
joking.
that. You know,
Yeah,
surprise weapons to come out of nowhere. But I went to Sifu Dan and I was like, you know, I want to do this. I want to fight. I want to compete. I want to do the tournament, the WK tournament. So when I was starting to think about it, then I actually had a I had to have surgery on my back. I had a herniated disc, a really bad herniation in my disc, and I couldn't even I still went to the tournament with a team, and at that time I couldn't lift anything more than 5 pounds. So that was my trigger and inspiration, me like, okay, I'm gonna train for something to get back. And this is what I'm going to train for. A year from today, I'm going to be in this tournament. So I got, you know, rehab back, but I still wasn't ready the next year. So I trained again to fight in the tournament 2 years later, and I did, and I fought. And when I went up to him to, you know, and told him I wanted to do this, he's like, "Why would you want to do this? You have your own business. You're successful. You know, you're not young anymore." I was like, "I understand that, but I need to do this." And so he was like, "All right, fine." He took a guy and he's like, "Spar," and he was like, "Don't hold back from her. You know, lay into her." So I did really well in that sparring session. He looked. He's like, "I think I'm going to train you to win this thing." I was like, "What?" You're gonna train me to do just like so. He got really excited. Then he was like, "Oh, okay." So went to the tournament, won the tournament, three and zero through the tournament. Got the gold medal for that. And then after that, I was like, "Okay, that's all I wanted to do to see." And he was like, "All right, I'm gonna get you this fight, and I'm gonna get you this fight." And I was like, "I thought you didn't want me to do this." So he got me a couple more fights. He got me the New York State championship fight, and I won that. And I told him before that fight, and I was like, "Listen, I'm not fighting anymore after this. I'm just doing this to see where I was. It's not going to be a career of mine." So he's like, okay. So I fought it. I was like, win or lose, this is it. So I won it. And after that, he was like, all right, I'm going to give you this fight. We're going to go pro. And I'm like, no.
That's
So
awesome.
that was my journey in that. And then, you know, obviously continue. And the goal was actually the after competing in Muay Thai to compete in jiu-jitsu. But as soon as I went to make the switch is when stunts came along.
I mean, that gives you such legitimacy, though, as well, because that's not an easy thing to do at any level. Anyone that steps in the ring, whether they get knocked out in 10 seconds or, go the full 12 rounds, that takes a hell of a lot of discipline and courage to do so. And it's actually, some people listening might say, your coach said, okay, don't hold back and kick the crap out of her. They may not realize how important that is, because it's like, if you can't take this in this safe club environment, someone that's legitimately going to take your head clean off. So it's almost the epitome of the tough love thing, which is
Oh,
so important in that contact setting.
it completely is. And he had so much love for me. Like I said, do them are my best friends. So he's like, why? So then when I when and he really kicked my head in the training. You know, my first fight camp was very hard. He would have six guys lined up, and each one of them was a new round for me. And if they weren't hitting me hard enough, he would tell them to leave. You know, and I went through it, and I consider myself a very mentally strong person, but it was starting to get to me. I had a headache for months. I had a bruised eye socket. You know, like my legs were just tagged up. I loved it, but then at a certain point, it was like wearing on me, and I was like, man, am I really ready to fight? Blah, blah, blah. And then when I get to the tournament, the first time I get punched in the face by a female my size, because I never trained with a female in my fight camp, not one time. And the first punch that I got hit in the face, I was like, oh, that's a,
Is
okay.
that it?
So I really, in that moment, appreciated everything I went through. And then it was just, I'm not gonna say it was easy by any means, but it was like, oh, I am prepared for this. I am very prepared for this. And this is what this is, you know. And I got what I wanted out of that. I wanted to see where I was, and he took me to the next level in it. And now I can tell, you know, when we train a lot of times in Muay Thai class, he lines up the fighters to fight the class at the end of the class, and everybody's usually scared about it. But why he does that is because now, as a fighter, you know what that level is. You can get to that level, so now you can control everything else. So now I can spar with somebody who's never taken a Muay Thai class before, or spar with somebody who's been in the ring before. There's a, you know, there's a there's an education you get when you step into the ring, and it definitely changes your mindset and kind of changes the person you are to a certain extent. And like, you're right, I definitely hold that with a badge of honor, and it is definitely helpful in this industry. For sure.
What's interesting with that is, I mean, having done it, you have nothing to prove anymore. Therefore, you're happy to help other people go through that door as well. But if we take that example, and this is one of my big selling points as a martial arts instructor, of course, it's in my interest to get people to do martial arts, but it becomes a metaphor for life. I mean, taking that little microcosmic story, which is one, it's a tremendous experience, but in the grand scheme of things, of everything you've managed to achieve in your career and life, it's just one thing. But if we take that as a distillation of what you do, you wanted to train for it, you couldn't. You went to train again, you couldn't. And finally, you kept pushing, pushing. You didn't give up, you persevered. And even when you were at the point where you were going to in a position to do it, there was another hurdle to come through as well. So you went for those inner resources, and you came to that point, as you said, do I really want to do this? And it's like you just kept going through, train hard, fight easy, because when it actually came to the event itself, you were good to go. What a wonderful metaphor for life. What a tremendous illustration of what martial arts gives us. You seem to have taken that same attitude of taking on big challenges and driving yourself forward through your entire career. So when you came to go to the stunt world, which, as we know, was almost by accident, it was someone saying, yeah, hey, you ever fancy doing this, you know? And did you have that same sort of fear in you to do it, or was this more of a case of, yep, let's go, let's go?
Well, I definitely had the fear, 1000%. A lot of people, me coming into the industry and doing this, everybody's like, oh, you're fearless, you're fearless. And that is definitely not the case whatsoever. I live in fear almost, you know, especially when the big gags come along. But my motivation is to overcome fear. I have stunts that are gags that I like are my proudest stunts. This is why I do this, to overcome fear, to do things that I've never done before, just like getting in the ring. You know, my mentality is different from everybody else's motivation to get through a gag. Like, I wouldn't advise to use this, but in my head, I always just say, it'll be over in 2 seconds. Whatever happens, it'll be over in 2 seconds. The body heals, whatever it is, trip to the hospital. Whoo, yeah, 2 seconds, it'll be over. Just like when I stepped into the ring, again, I would not advise this to anybody to have this mental fortitude, but I mean, I advise to have mental fortitude. I misspoke. I wouldn't advise somebody to go about it this way. In my head, when I went into a ring, I always said, today's a good day to die. You know, obviously, I didn't want to die, but if I was prepared to put myself in that position, then I have to do it. I have to step in there. And it's basically saying, I'm going to give it my all. And, you know, if something happens, then so be it. But I'm willing to go through this, but I'm prepared not to get to that point. So it's a little bit of a kind of weird for me to say, but yeah, today's a good day to die. It's just like, okay, I'm giving it my all. I'm going for it 1000%. I'm all in. I'm
It's
all
kind
in.
of like memento mori, the Latin saying, right? You know, every man must die. But you know, taking a look at everything that you've done and accomplished, and listening to some past podcast episodes about you, you know, you started in sport where there was, you know, you're talking about baseball and how, you know, there was a challenge of you not being able to play on the team, so you switched to basketball. And you've always been involved in martial arts, and I hear you speaking, and you talk about being a teacher and just sharing this passion and these qualities contained within your experience. And then go figure in this movie Woman King, which is like completely representing the messaging that you're going towards. Can you talk to a little bit about your journey? Did this all come about by plan? Like, okay, this leads to this, or did it find you? And like, are you a person that sits down and writes these goals on a board, or did you just be open and it found you?
Pretty much being open in everything that I've done, I feel I've started late in life. You know, with basketball, I didn't really play basketball in grammar school going leading up to high school. I, by the time I got to high school, I even had to ask. I was like, they were like, oh, let's gonna do some, you know, foul line drills, line up at the foul line, let's make some plays out here. I was like, how do you line up at a foul line? It's like kids knew that going into high school basketball. I was like, what are you talking about? So I started that late. I started martial arts late. I mean, I did martial arts when I was younger, but then had to stop because of basketball and had to get back into it. You know, I fought late. I got into stunts late. So my journey has been, you know, one of just do it. You know, it's like I've been raised by my parents who say, you know, you can do anything you want to. And when I was younger, I was like, I'm going to be the first female pitcher in the Yankees. Nobody could tell me I wouldn't be that. So that's how I go through life, you know. What was your original question again? Sorry, I have a tendency to go
Just
on tangents.
no, it's along the lines of like how did you find your way to be on the Woman King?
Oh.
Because like, you know, there's a lot of people who aspire to use their martial arts or use their passions in a productive way, and you know, I get the grasp that you're very entrepreneurial, or you know, like you're used to work at Equinox, like you have to be in control of what the work you do puts food on the table, right? S How did you combine your passion, because you've been doing this a while, with like making money and making a living and doing all that stuff?
Yeah, I definitely fell into it. I think it was the perfect storm for me to be falling into the industry that I'm in now. You know, being a trainer, having to be able to keep my body as a machine and know how to keep my body in shape. I fell into that actually. I came back to New York after college to do acting and modeling, and then I just fell in love with training. And then because of training, I fell in love. You know, it had just so happened that martial arts school was down the street, so I did that. And then when I was there, at that point, I had got myself to the high level of martial arts. I had, you know, created my own personal training business, which I housed in the martial arts school. And then the New York stunt community just kept coming in, you know, to train before classes or between classes to do fight choreo or whatever it was. And I just kept watching them for a while. And then an ex coworker of mine came in. She's a performer too. And I was like, wow, this looks really cool. Like, I'd be pretty interested. She goes, are you serious? Because I think you'd be pretty good at it. So she came in and she's like, put together headshot and resume and I'll pass it around. And she left. And I was like, I don't have a resume for stunts. What is that? So somebody else came along and he's like, you know, just write down what you do for fun. So I started writing everything down and I was like, wow, I've been training for this career my entire life without even knowing. Like everything I did for fun, jet skiing, skydiving, scuba certification, you know, shooting guns, everything was a resume, was part of the resume to do this job. So I didn't even know it existed, which is I think somewhat of a problem now for especially for Black females, and nobody has the education about it and how to get in or what to do to get into it. And or even before that, just to be a martial artist. You know, there's not a lot of Black female martial artists out here. So getting the word out is important to me. And you know, just maybe giving somebody that aha moment. It's like, oh, I can do this, you know. So yeah, it was I've just been very fortunate in that way to just fall into certain things, but all, you know, everybody says you're lucky, you know, not to me, but in general, but luck is where, you know, preparation meets opportunity, you know. So I've been prepared without knowing it. I've prepared for this career. So you know, I have to remind myself, it's like, oh wow, somebody may have wanted to do this career their entire life, but maybe I came in and got a job because of my martial arts background. It's like, oh, well, how did you get that before somebody else has been dying to get into this industry? And it's like, I have to remind myself of all the blood, sweat, and tears I put into getting into the ring, being on the mat, rolling, getting punched in the face, every time I had to basketball practice or something like that. That was my preparation.
You put an awful lot of time into becoming an overnight success, which is the 20 years to become an overnight success, and that's what people always lose sight of. You pay for the years, not for the minutes. That's the true in the fight game. It's true in the martial arts game. It's true in, as you yourself attest to, it's true in the stunt game as well. One of the things that's always fascinated me with the stunt coordination, because the closest I've ever come to it is doing a high school play for some kids that wanted to look vaguely passable as Robin Hood and the Sheriff of Nottingham. So when I am teaching my students, and when I'm teaching self-defense, obviously that's my wheelhouse, that's where I do my thing. When I got my competition team, I will tend to draw influences from the karate fighters of old, the Alfie Lewis's, the Kev Brewertons, the Billy Blankses, and all those sort of guys. When I'm teaching boxing, I look at, Joe Lewis, all the Ezard Charles, Van der Holyfield, Roger, all these classic guys, and you extract the essence from what they do. As a stunt performer and as someone that does the stunt coordination, what do you do to draw that inspiration to continue to push yourself beyond? Do you draw entirely from external, like the martial arts, like the fight game? Or are the coordinators and the way they do things and they arrange things in films that you're like, I like the look of that. That's something I want to try and use as an influence and inspiration for my own choreographies.
Yeah, they do both for sure. I mean, I'm just starting out in the stunt coordination game, so I look to a lot of mentors when it comes to that area, and a lot of them have martial arts backgrounds, and a lot of them are in my lineage of Dan Inosanto, Dan Anderson. Inosanto has inspired many, many people
Of
and
course.
stunts too. So they look at they. I say they, we look to our expertise in martial arts, and then the collaboration with other people that train in other arts like wushu or I don't know, any other art that's out there. Those people come in and it's like, oh, I like that. I want to take from that and put it here. And I feel, very lucky in the fact that with JKD, that's pretty much the whole aspect behind it, right? The whole meaning behind JKD is absorb what is useful and discard what is not. And that means incorporating other arts into making, you as a martial artist, which sets you aside from any other martial artist in the game. So there's definitely internal draw, and then there's also external draw. We learn from each other, and that's what I love about it. When I'm on set or when I'm on production, wherever on location, and I can't get to class, there's almost a barter system that goes on in rehearsals. Like, hey, I have JKD background, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu. You have, Wushu, Pantoja, whatever it is. Let me learn from you, and I can teach you what I know. And then we put it together. And then going up the ranks, you can become a coordinator. It's like, oh yeah, that thing I learned back then. And this person is like, hey, I'm gonna bring them on because I like their style, and this is what we need for this film and stuff like that. So I love that about the arts and this industry, because we can combine all of it.
And that's wonderful. There's no one style.
Right.
You can't have movie style,
Right.
Do you find that when you are coordinating and bringing stuff to films, the obviously the flavor of the project that you're working on will dictate the nature of the arts that you will then introduce into that. Taking The Woman King, for example, it has a very for want of a better word, that historic kind of art battlefield vibe going on to it. Something like the Black Panther, for example, is much more fantastical because that's much more about the visual perspective to it. The Gray Man, again, that's much more gritty, realistic. So that must dictate to an extent which arts you're drawing from. Can you talk me through that process, how you construct and make the decision on which bits are going to fit where?
Like I said, first we have to read the script and get the story, right? See what story we're trying to tell. And it's funny that all those three movies that you talked about, were with people, and Danny Hernandez had his hand in all of them to a certain extent. And he did, you know, the Avengers after Panther. So, you know, we obviously, like I said, draw from our experience. But getting to that point of determining what style to use, you know, is it has so many factors. What the director wants to see, what this story is, what the scene should be, what the story we're telling. So with Woman King, obviously, it wasn't supposed to be anything Marvel-esque, you know. It was more functional. So it's like, okay, great, this is awesome. We don't have to do so many twirls in the air and do this and all flips. It's like, okay, it's functional. We have angle one, we have angle two, and we're going to use that most of the time because this is what it is. We're trying to kill somebody. We're not trying to impress them before we kill them. So it was very basic movements that we made to look cool. But yet and still, if you break it down, it's like, oh, that was just angle one, angle two, angle three, angle four, dead. Like, because that's the point. Yeah. But Marvel, I have a Kali background when it comes to staff, you know, which turned into the spear in Panther. But we had so much training with it because I never used to do so many flowers in one take. You know, there's, I'm not spinning the spear so many times before I want to strike somebody. That's in martial arts. It's like, you know, first kill, first strike, first, you know, like get to the point. So I had to be taught in ways with the spear that looked cool because that's what the point was, right? So with that in mind, it's like, okay, so what are we doing here? What do we want? What do we want to show the audience? Well, how are we going to tell a story? You know, how are we going to put this together? So that's kind of where it comes from. And it's really just months and months of brainstorming and feeding off each other and seeing what the director wants. Because once we put a fight scene together, we have to submit it. And then production sees it, producers and all them, and they come back with their notes. It's like, oh, we don't want to see this. We want this here. We want that here. It's like, okay, we have to change that. Now let's maybe put in this style of martial arts because they want this cool thing to happen. And we do that again. And it's a back and forth process. And then it always goes all the way to the day. And sometimes you create this amazing fight scene. And then on the day, it's like, but the thing that I had in there, but it, you know, it comes out great. And you know, so it's a process throughout the entire production sometimes.
Yeah. We've done some work with, Michelle C. Smith and Andrea Moss. I don't know how tight the stunt circle is, but we were talking to them about that. They're like, I did this amazing set and they used like 0.2 seconds of the whole thing. Yeah. And it's so annoying, but yeah, that's something that we're doing. Well, have you ever had aspirations of being in front of the camera, the acting side of things?
Absolutely. That's the path I'm on right now. I just came off a job on, it's called Shadow Force with Kerry Washington, Omar Sy. I was a character in that. It was a big acting part for me. So that was really, really cool. Want to definitely do more of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before that, it's even started piece by piece in certain productions like Miss Marvel, for example, and She-Hulk. Like I played a character in those as well. And Miss Marvel, I actually created my own scene pretty much because there was a previs we were doing and I was comfortable with the coordinator and everybody there. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of people to do this scene. It was the kitchen scene. So we had to be the wait staff, but also be the doubles, which is really funny. So when I was the wait staff, I just threw a line in there just to be funny. It was like, oh, hell no, whatever it was. And they kept it in the previs and then they submitted it to production and they loved it. So on the day, I had almost forgotten about it and I was getting dressed up, be the double. And then like the coordinator's like, hey, how long does it take you to wrap out? And I was like, I don't know. Why is he asking me that? I'm just going through the works right now. So he's like, we're going to get all your double stuff done. And then they want you to be that character. And I was like, what? Seriously? So went in and did the line, and that's what happened in Miss Marvel. And you know, I love that part of it, and I love stunt acting because I get to do the action and be a character.
I could definitely see you in front of a camera. I have a crazy idea. I always like connecting things and like putting martial arts on the internet. Have you ever thought of a short? This is my idea, like a short movie, a Ken and Ryu with like you and Shiana West, like red outfit, blue outfit, going at it like on camera for like a short film. I think that would break the internet. I think that would do millions of views, just because it the fro and then you guys' style and the look. I think it would just be really, really cool.
That would be pretty dope.
Yes. So if you ever want to produce that, I wanna be a part of that. We'll go
Okay.
fly down and make
Fair
that
enough. Awesome. I'm all for
Yes.
it.
Yes.
So building on what Kyle was actually going to there, is that an aspiration and an aim for you for the future? Is that where you see Janelle going in the future, taking those lead roles, taking those acting roles, or are you still flow with the go, as Hickson would say, and just taking what comes up?
No, I'm definitely working towards me being in front of the camera more for sure. But stunt performing is also my bread and butter, so I take these and that's what helps me get to that next moment too. It's like, okay, I'm here and I'll be a double or ND, whatever it is, and I'll be like, hey, I could throw that line if you want to. You want me to, so it's like, I could do this thing over here too. So, but yeah, with that, and then just making the connections, networking, and doing this, and just telling the world, hey, I can do this. So I've done a lot of auditions and self tapes, and when I get on set, I've been fortunate enough for the producer, the director's like, hey, I want to put you in this role, and that's kind of what happened in The Woman King too, when I became the King's Guard. Also, I'm there working with Viola, and then Gina was like, hey, I want to make you a King's Guard. Your stance and everything that you do just looks badass. I just want to put you in this. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. So that was really cool to be a part of that too. So yeah, but again, I'm just open, and part of it's going with the flow too. And with going with the flow, some of my dreams and aspirations have come to me before I've even decided that I'm gonna do this 1000%, so I've just been very fortunate in that aspect. And I feel like if I leave myself open and continue to make these connections and just get the word out there that it'll come, and it has been coming. I mean, Shadow Force was something I didn't even, wasn't on the docket, but I did that and I'm like, wow, yeah, let's do this. Let's keep it going, but then again, it's like, I'm not going to be like, if a stunt job calls, just like happened, I'm like in Toronto now on a doubling job, and they're like, hey, can you just, yeah, absolutely, I'll be there. So I'm not going to be like, oh no, I can't do that anymore. I only act, I only am a stunt actor.
Yeah,
But
that's
once
awesome.
I get to that point, then maybe, but I'm enjoying it all. And
So time is one of the most valuable assets on the planet, right? How do you manage being a stunt actor, a martial artist, traveling to all these cities, and like keep sanity in your time and your space to not go crazy?
sanity,
It's a very relative term, in fairness to Kyle. I
there you
mean,
go, going back.
it's
It's definitely relative, man. It is a lot. It is a lot. And sometimes the grass is always greener. I am very, very fortunate in what's going on now. I'm, like I said, like, life is great. I just recently got married too. Life is awesome, but like you said, there's 24 hours in a day. So it's just more now. It's like when you put yourself on a budget, right? Now I have to put myself on a time budget. It's like, okay, I have to make time for my husband, for my family. I have to make time for this. And sometimes that means saying no to a job or two, going forward, because to me, family is very important. And then other aspects of it, training and, getting back to the classes and seeing everybody, and everybody's like, you're gonna be home for Thanksgiving. I don't know. Can you come to this wedding? I have no idea. But like, if people understanding that too is very helpful. And my husband being in the business as well is very, very helpful, because it's like, oh, I have to work till 7 a.m., babe. And he's like, all right, cool. That's helpful when the people around you and the people you love understand what you do. But yeah, to keep my sanity, it's like, okay. And sometimes I'll have goals that I know that I can't make, but it just helps me with the hope. It's like, okay, I'm gonna go to your wedding, But sometimes, when it gets closer to time, I have to cancel, because of work and whatever it is. But I love it all, honestly. I wouldn't change it for the world. There's pros and cons of everything, but the cons of this is, definitely first world problems. I'm very unfortunate.
Fantastic, fantastic. I have a suggestion. How about we do just a quick fire? So I'm going to throw some questions out for you. You give me
Okay.
the answers as they come back, and it gives us a little bit of an insight and a deep dive into you without going too much into the weeds. You cool with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Strap yourselves in. Might be a bumpy ride. Okay. Favorite film?
Ooh, Gladiator?
Ooh.
Good one.
Favorite film performer?
Ooh, Oh, his name is on the top of my Man, that's a performer in terms of action or just in general?
You call it. It's your answer.
What is his name? He was in why am I blanking? Keeping the Faith and American History X. What is his name?
And none.
Yes. As an actor, I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, actually he is. The tremendous range for and
Yes.
he's one of those sleepers that when you mention him, you're like, oh God, yes. But he's not like one of the tip of the tongue kind of as
Yeah,
we've just
exactly.
demonstrated on this interview.
Very underrated. I like the underdogs, though.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Favorite singer or music performer might be a better one.
Man, you're getting me with these. Because now I'm going everywhere with it. Performer, I'm gonna say Beyonce as a performer for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. And favorite song, because it's not always by the same person.
I love her. The song with Daniel Caesar she just had because it almost was my wedding song. Best Part is one of my
Beautiful.
favorites.
Beautiful. If you get a time with your schedule, favorite author?
Ooh, Artie Brady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar myself, so you've caught me on the back foot there because I'm going to
It's
now ask you favorite book by Artie Brady. Okay,
Bilal series.
there you go.
It's
There you go.
rooted in there lots of historical fact in it, but it's fictional. And the actual the author was he she trained under in Esanto. She puts it in her write up. That's why, yeah, and
Fantastic.
she has female heroines in her book, and it's martial arty. Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, I
I
think
love
you've actually already answered that then. Favorite martial artist?
Bruce Lee.
There you
Of
go.
course.
Okay.
Yeah,
There
of
you go.
course.
Of course. How could it
Yeah,
not be? I mean, sometimes it's nice to do those quick ones because there's a lot of insight that you can actually gain by doing that.
I wasn't fast enough,
No,
okay?
you were fine. Honestly,
No,
you were fine. I didn't tell you we were doing this. It's like throwing jabs at you. Like, oh, you didn't tell me you were going to do that one, you know?
there's magic in the pause. There's magic in the pause.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What does the next 5 years hold for Janelle?
I'm actually really interested in that too.
Take us through, because honestly, you're st so. I mean, I'll qualify why I'm asking you. It's not a standard, interview of what's in 5 years, because by any measure, you've been a massive success. I mean, if most people have done a quarter of what you had done, they'd be bragging till the cows come home over beers and things. Oh well, I remember the time when I was, But your momentum is going. You keep moving. You keep driving. You keep going forward. And there's this
And you're
drive from
just getting
within you, which
started.
is so. Yeah, exactly. You
Yeah.
all for a lot of people, they'd be finished with this. For you're just getting started, and it's so inspirational to actually see that going forward. What does the next 5 years hold for you, and where do you see yourself going?
And like I said, I feel like my blessings and goals have come to me before I've had a chance to even go after them, which is a weird thing. I'm very fortunate about it. Just continue to be grateful about that. I honestly can almost not answer that question. There's three roads here that I look at, and I'm trying to find which path to take more or so. But the fortunate part about that is that I don't have to necessarily fully commit to one and not do the other in terms of stunt coordinating, stunt acting, and stunt performer. These are my paths right now. And I don't know, I want to say that in the next 5 years, you know, stunt acting hopefully will be the thing that I'm mostly doing in the next 5 years. I've been fortunate to be enjoying this ride, but my husband has been a very big factor and a huge inspiration for me. And he's been in this industry for decades. So when I get to a project or something, it's like, oh, you know, move it along. And he throws a curveball at me and to make it better, to get me to that next level, something I hadn't even thought about before. It's like, oh, I can do that. This is a thing, you know? So it's really helping me to do things that I didn't think were possible. So man, if you would ask me this question 5 years ago, I wouldn't tell you I'd be here. That's for sure. So it's ever changing, and that's the beauty of stunts too. And this industry, anything changes on a dime. You can be going in this direction and then just take a hard right and out of nowhere. And it's, you know, you're in a different place. So I know this is a loaded answer, but it's.
No, it's cool. It's totally cool.
Man. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm excited because I'm open to everything, and hopefully short answer, stunt acting, in a role that getting up there on a stage, accepting an award for a role that I did would be awesome.
I love that answer. You don't know, but you're excited for it anyway. What an absolutely, it's almost a catchphrase. I don't know, but I'm excited for it. Because if you look, again, your own descriptions of where you've come from your start to all these things that happened to come across, and you did it because, hey, why not? Sure, yeah, might be fun.
If you would ask me in grammar school, it'd be like, in 5 years, I'm going to be a veterinarian. In high school, I was like, you know, I'm gonna
pitch for the Yankees.
Pitch for the Yankees. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be the GM of a professional team. That was my goal. You know, then afterwards, after college, I'm going to be acting and modeling. And then after that, it was like, I'm going to start my own personal training business, and I'm going to have all these clients. And then after that, now, you know, I'm here. And so every, you know, you ask me these questions in 5 years, after 5 years comes along, it's going to be, the answer is going to be different.
Having no way is way.
No limitations is limitations.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I can't thank you enough for joining us today for this conversation. It's been absolutely riveting and fascinating. Your stories, as I said, you pulled me out of retirement. That's not an easy thing to do. You ask Kyle, I'm stubborn.
Yeah, I'm humbled by that. And,
well, no, I mean, it's an inspiring story. Everything about you is just uplifting. Just, you know, what would you like your legacy to be, other than this tremendous amount of screen work that you've done and all these contributions? What would you like your legacy to be, to be remembered for?
I would love to see more Black females in this industry. Whether it be performing, coordinating, stunt acting, directing, DP, whatever it is, I want to give back, to train up as many people as I can, inspire as many people as I can, tell them that this is possible, and to just have that just take off to the point where coordinators aren't saying we can't find anybody. You know, it's like, oh, we have this person, she's amazing. We have this person, she's amazing. We have this person, she's amazing. But then again, being like, oh, she's not available. She's on this, she's on that, she's on this, you know, and just have that be a thing, you know. I think that would be amazing to see more Black female stunt drivers, you know, helicopter pilots, martial artists, you know, that would be really awesome. I go back to this one story when, after I did Panther, you know, there was a video that went viral of these two little boys looking at the Black Panther poster. Two little Black boys, and they're looking and they're like, that's me, I'm that guy, that's me. And they see themselves, you know, portrayed on the screen. And just to have those boys grow up and be like top stunt performers, or top female, female black stunt performers, looking at Woman King or the Dora Milaje, and then being that on screen, being who their heroes were, because we have so many stories of that. So many stunt performers say, "Man, I used to love Doctor Strange when I'm growing up. To put this costume on means so much to me." And to have that, with the female side would be awesome. And to say I inspired one of them would be amazing. I cried when I saw that video. So
Beautiful.
it's, yeah.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Well, what a way to end it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Janelle, for joining today. It's been an
Thank you.
absolute pleasure and a privilege. Where can people find you on Instagram to follow you more about you?
Yes, Janelle underscore stunts, JENEL underscore stunts. That's my handle.